May the Lord direct our hearts and minds as we turn our attention to Isaiah chapter 49, verses 8 and 9. Thus says the Lord, and in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. I will preserve you and give you as a covenant to the people, to restore the earth, to cause them to inherit the desolate heritages, that you may say to the prisoners, come forth, and to those who are in darkness, show yourself. Do you know where the word assassin comes from? It comes from an Aramaic word, haziyinin, which means an eater of hashish. This was a cult that formed in northern Iran in the 11th century under a man named Hazani Sabah. He recruited men for this cult by secretly drugging them and then carrying them off to his secret, secluded palace off in the mountains. There they'd wake up in the midst of splendor, lush gardens, bubbling fountains, the smell of flowers filling the air. Not to mention they were waited hand and foot on by beautiful women. After a while of this VIP treatment, they were drugged again, and then carried off to one of Hazan's forts. When they were woke, they were told that they had been in a heavenly paradise, and that if they wanted to return there, they needed to serve Hazan faithfully in life, and then when they died, they'd get to go back. Needless to say, this made them fanatically faithful. And Hazan and his recruits terrorized the Middle East, becoming experts at ambush and assassination. Well, their lives were pretty hard. They had to stay in mountain crags for days waiting for caravans to come by. They lived in secluded forts far out in the desert. They were constantly risking their lives, and there were always a danger against the many nations trying to find and destroy them. Their comfort in all of this was that when they died, they'd be able to return to that supposed paradise. But of course, this hope was false. They had no comfort in this life or in the next. How different from us, brothers and sisters in Christ, for we have a Lord who comforts his people, comforts even his son. Yes, even his son. Because Christ was true man as well as true God, he felt sorrow and distress, and at times needed comfort and consolation. The gospel records for us in many places how the Lord went off into a secluded place by himself to pray. He found great strength and comfort in talking to his Father. Isaiah, by revelation and by prophecy, records for us some of the thoughts and emotions that the Savior would have hundreds of years later during his earthly ministry. Some of the thoughts and emotions that would lead him to seek comfort from his Father. One such example is a few verses before our text in verse 4. I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and in vain. Yet surely my just reward is with the Lord, and my recompense with my God. If you're anything like me, this verse might make you go, what? Jesus said, I spent my strength in vain? What does that mean? Well, it is certainly not talking about Christ's redemptive work. That was completed as he has told us. But often during his earthly ministry, the Lord felt great distress and sorrow over Israel's rejection of him. This was God's special people, and he was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel to return them to their shepherd. But they rejected him and mocked him, and they crucified even the Lord of glory. You can hear the longing and the pain in the Savior's words when he looked down on Jerusalem and declared, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. To this distress, and to the anxiety that the Savior faced, for example, in the Garden of Gethsemane, knowing the pain and torture that was to come, the Lord gave him this comfort And he also gave this comfort to us. Thus says the Lord, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. I will preserve you and give you as a covenant to the people. With these words recorded in Scripture, the Lord provided assurance and a comfort to the Savior that he would be strengthened and sustained through that coming ordeal, and that most importantly, the object for which he suffered all that would be accomplished, your salvation. Perhaps the angels who ministered to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane pointed him to this very promise. In any case, these are words of great comfort for us and for the children of Israel. The rest of our text is a twofold prophecy, meaning it has two fulfillments, the first fulfillment being a picture of the second. Isaiah, throughout his book, continually warned Judah that because they would not turn to the Lord, that they would be dragged off into captivity in Babylon. Yet they ignored Isaiah's warning. Yet despite that, the Lord graciously provided comfort for them, even before they were dragged off into that captivity. So on that dark day, they would have this promise to cling to. He had Isaiah record here in chapter 49 and elsewhere through the book, the promise that he would lead them back from that captivity. This was the first fulfillment of the prophecy. Their deliverance from Babylon and their return to the homeland are a picture, then, of our deliverance. We, like Adam and Eve, have been exiled from Eden and from the presence of God. We are held under the thumb of sin and death. But in Christ, we have been freed and are being led back to paradise, back to our homeland. This is the second fulfillment. Verses 9, I will give you as a covenant to the people to restore the earth, to cause them to inherit the desolate heritages, that you may say to the prisoners, come forth. To those who are in darkness, show yourself. Jerusalem and Judah had been left desolate and deserted when the Jews were dragged off. But the Lord calls his people, captive and prisoner in Babylon, to come forth, for he would return them to their homeland, and he would restore their inheritance. The land passed down from father to son since the time of Joshua would be restored to them. The Lord also calls us to come forth from the darkness, first and foremost from the darkness of unbelief, but then also for us who have tasted his salvation, he calls us to come forth from the darkness and captivity of continuing in sin. As Paul put it, let us lay aside the sin that so easily ensnares us. For those of you who have seen or read Lord of the Rings, you know about Shelob, a giant poisonous spider sitting in the middle of a vast network of webbing, waiting for victims to become completely ensnared before she swoops in to devour them. Sin is very much like that. In our daily lives, sin sticks to us, grabs at us, pulls at us, and often we don't remove it. The reasons being, we don't know about it, or we're ignoring it, or we're excusing it, because despite knowing it's wrong, we want to continue in it. But as time passes on, we become more and more entrapped in sin and a prisoner to it. And it is the devil waiting for us to become completely ensnared before we are his to devour. This is the captivity the Lord has called you to come forth from, to cut away the webbing of sin with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It is only with his Word that we can see the sin in our lives and be removed to repentance and then assured of forgiveness. This, and this only, motivates us to remove the sin from our lives. And then, like Israel captive in Babylon, he comforts us with the promise that the desolate inheritance will be ours. What does this mean? God didn't want us to be captive to sin and death. He wanted man, and made man, to be free and perfect, serving him, to be his children, and to walk with him in the cool of the day. But this inheritance was lost to us and became desolate to us in the fall. But God comforts us with the knowledge that it has been restored to us in Christ. Galatians 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. What a beautiful picture, and what comfort. Those assassins had no comfort in this life or in the next. But we have a Lord who comforts his people in this life as he leads them back to their homeland with him. Amen. Continue with singing hymn 200, verses 1, 7, and 8 of hymn 200.